You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, happy Easter, everybody. Really good to have you with us today. This is the second Easter that we've been in online, and I'm hoping that next year we will be in person and able to meet, but it's really good to have you here with us today. For the past couple of months, we've been looking at the heart of Jesus for us. And it's been amazing. I've really been refreshed as we look at everything that Jesus has on his heart for you and for me. And we've seen things like that Jesus' heart is to serve us, it's to love us, it's to prepare a future for us, it's to send us his Spirit as a helper. It's a heart to pray for us. This past Friday, we got to the most moving part, which is it was in his heart to give his life for us as our King, to serve us and to accomplish everything that God sent him to do. And so on the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he said he had done this all. His heart for us was not just a heart that stayed inside, but was a heart that carried out everything that God sent him to do. All that was needed to be done was done at the cross. And so I've been so encouraged as we've looked at his heart for his people. Honestly, there's nothing more that Jesus could have done for us. The extent of his love for us is simply amazing. And we're done, almost. Today, we're going to wrap up the series by looking at one more thing that Jesus wants to do for us. In the passage that Elaine just read, we read that Jesus appeared. The grave was empty, and Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, who was a woman with a past. And it was remarkable. Mary had this encounter with the risen Lord, and she went back and reported it to the disciples. They investigated because nobody could believe that the grave was empty and that she had seen Jesus. They couldn't make sense of it. But Jesus, we pick up the story as Jesus appears for the first time to the disciples while they are afraid and hidden behind locked doors. And in this passage, there's so much that we could cover, but I want to cover Jesus' heart for us because in this passage, we discover that Jesus has a heart to give us three things that we desperately need. And here's the first. Jesus gives us peace. Jesus' heart is to give us peace. And so verse 19, he says, we read that Jesus comes and stands in front of them in the locked room and says, "Peace be with you." This is so important that in verse 21 and again in verse 26, Jesus repeats this and says, "Peace be to you." Jesus' heart, before anything on Resurrection Day, is to give us his peace. Now, ordinarily, this saying, "peace to you," isn't really that big a deal. If you go to Israel or to Lebanon or anywhere in that area, you still might hear a similar saying. It's a way of saying hello. It's a greeting. "Peace be to you." And so it's that, but in context, it's so much more. Remember, we've already seen that the disciples are completely terrified. They're afraid. I mean, you would be too. Jesus has just been killed. His body is missing. Mary Magdalene has seen him, but they can't make any sense of it. They're afraid of the people who killed Jesus. And Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be to you." John is really hyperlinking back to earlier where Jesus had said just a few passages, a few chapters earlier, just a few hours earlier, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." They're terrified. And Jesus had said to them, "I'm leaving you my peace. Don't be afraid." In John 16, verse 33, again, Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so Jesus had said, guys, I'm telling you what's going to happen so that you can have peace. They were still terrified, and now Jesus shows up in their midst and says three times to them, peace be to you. I want this to wave over you if you think of a calming presence, if somebody just comes in and you're fretting, you're freaked out, and somebody comes in completely calm and just says to you, peace be to you. I want you to picture this. The word peace means shalom. It's the all-embracing term in scripture that really means the unqualified well-being that characterizes the people of God when the kingdom had dawned. And so what he's saying here is not just a peace and absence of anxieties. He's talking about the epitome of all the blessings of the kingdom of God in every area of our life, experiencing the peace, the well-being that God intends. As I mentioned, Jesus had said on the cross, it is finished. This is really the counterpart of that. When we realize Jesus finished work on the cross, there's nothing left to do. We have everything we need. We can have peace. What exactly is this peace? I think there's a few dimensions to it. It's peace between us and Jesus. I find it interesting if you read the accounts that basically all the men deserted Jesus and pretty much all the women were faithful to Jesus. And so you read, this is a room full of guys who had really let Jesus down. And Jesus stands up in their midst and he says to them, peace. Really, he's saying, I know you've let me down, but he stands there himself, offering himself as a friend and a helper, not a judge. I don't know how you feel that Jesus feels about you when you've let him down. I think a lot of us feel that we can't even face Jesus in that moment. And Jesus shows up in the middle of our sin, in the middle of our mess, and says, peace be to you. Not a peace that's dependent on our worthiness, but a peace that's dependent on what he's done for us. It also means that we have peace with God. It means we have peace with us and others who are in Jesus Christ. This is good news for us in this world, this very divided world right now. We really have peace with all of God's family. He's brought us into a relationship of peace with, it doesn't matter nationality, it doesn't matter gender, it doesn't matter race, it doesn't matter any of the divisions. We have peace with all who are in Jesus Christ. We can have peace in our souls, the sense that we no longer have to face or live with our guilty consciences. He's removed all the penalty of sin. We have peace that he is going to set the whole world right, that one day his peace will rule the whole world and fix everything that's wrong. This is such an important idea that every single letter that the Apostle Paul writes includes the words peace. In every greeting that Paul writes to all the different churches, he begins by saying something like this, peace to you in Jesus Christ. The heart of Jesus is to give you peace. Now, friends, I want to think about this for a minute. I don't know if we've ever lived through a more anxious time. Anxiety is skyrocketing everywhere we look. And by the way, it's for good reason. We have good reason to be anxious. This world is a mess. I mean, look in any direction, politics, the pandemic, the financial situation, racial division, it is bad news everywhere. And Jesus looks at us and our lives, some of our lives are, we're going through a hard time, and Jesus looks at us and says, peace. Jesus gives us a peace that's not dependent on circumstances, but dependent upon his finished work on the cross. And most powerfully, if you think God is angry at you, you know, this week I had just a very small relational tension with somebody. It was really no big deal, but I was worried that I'd inadvertently offended this person. And just that little bit of tension, this feeling that I had somehow caused offense in a relationship, ate at me. if you can picture, and it wasn't intentional, it was just purely accidental, and yet it caused me stress. If you can picture that feeling with God, that we have offended God, that really the reality of all of our lives is we want our own way. We've offended God. The essence of sin is basically choosing our way rather than God's way. And if we begin to just capture the enormity of what that means, that we've offended a God, really this should give us a lot of stress that we've caused this offense. But Jesus shows up in the middle of this tension, and he declares to us peace. Jesus looks at each of us and pronounces peace, peace with God, and a peace that spreads throughout our entire life, no matter how bad things are going. Well, how do we receive this peace? We don't earn it. We don't have to work for it. We just receive it. It's a gift from Jesus that he offers to us. We just need to receive it. I love what John Stott says. We learn that the church's very first need before it can begin to engage in evangelism is an experience and assurance of Christ's peace. Peace of conscience through his death that banishes sin. Peace of mind through his resurrection that banishes doubt. Once we're glad that we have seen the Lord, once we've clearly recognized him as our crucified and risen Savior, then nothing and no one will be able to silence us. Friends, no matter what you're going through right now, the risen Lord brings peace to our troubled hearts. If you're not feeling that right now, if you're feeling anxious, come to Jesus, tell him about your anxiety, ask him to give you the peace that he promises. My prayer for you is what Paul prayed in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. That's my prayer for you. The Lord of peace, may he give you peace in all times in every way. Jesus' heart is to give us peace. But that's not all. I mean, that would be good enough. I mean, I'm ready to just say, I'm done. That's amazing. But there's another thing that Jesus gives us. He doesn't just give us peace. But in verse 21, we read that Jesus gives us something else that we need. Jesus gives us a mission. And so in verse 21, Jesus says to them again, peace be with you. By the way, you see how important this is. Jesus keeps repeating it. Peace be with you. And then he says in verse 21, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And what Jesus says here is remarkable, all the more because these people had just failed him. Jesus gives them a mission. You know, Jesus had just finished teaching that he had come to the world with a mission. He came because the Father sent him to come. We read in this passage that God is a missionary God. God is the very first missionary. Before anybody was on a mission, God was on a mission to reach us. God is on a mission to reach this world, to reach people who don't know him, to redeem this broken and sinful world, and to make it what he intended to be, to announce the good news of Jesus' peace, of his grace for sinners. Jesus came as part of this mission. John 3:16 says that he came so that everyone who believes in him can have eternal life. John 1:12 says that he came so that everyone who trusts in him could be called a child of God. John 8 says that he came to set us free from the slavery of sin. Jesus was on a mission to reconcile us to God. And now Jesus turns to us and says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And what this means is, if you've trusted in Jesus, you are here. The purpose of your life, the whole reason you exist, is to bring glory to God by continuing the mission that Jesus started. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, Jesus sends us into the world to live on mission, to carry out the same mission with our lives. if you want to know what this looks like, verse 23 unpacks it a little bit. In verse 23, Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. I think what Jesus means here is we get to go into the world offering his salvation to anyone who wants it. And we get to announce the gospel. And depending on how people respond, their sins are forgiven or their sins aren't. One preacher paraphrases it. When you tell people, this is paraphrasing Jesus, when you tell people what I have done, speaking my word about my work in the power of my spirit, I am the one speaking through you. If anyone believes your word, I forgive their sins. If anyone does not believe your words, I don't forgive them. Since you are my voice and my truth, I speak of you forgiving them and withholding forgiveness. We need a sense of purpose in our lives. Social scientists are discovering that we need meaning. We need purpose. We need a reason to get up out of bed every morning. We need to know that our lives count. And here Jesus turns to us and he says, I have a purpose for your life, and it matters for eternity. Your purpose is so great that it's actually this very same purpose that Jesus had. The risen Jesus turns to you and says that you're carrying on the mission that he began. Your life matters. One of my desires this year is that we as a church in Liberty Village would really ramp up this emphasis. God has put us in Liberty Village on mission to reach as many people as possible with this good news. Next week, we're going to begin a new series called Too Good Not to Share. And it's going to be all about sharing the good news of Jesus with everybody in our lives. To be honest, a lot of us are terrified of this, but we don't need to be. Jesus has given us everything we need to carry out this purpose. He has made you a missionary. Your life has a purpose, and he's put people in your life so that you could be a missionary to them. And God has given us, as I say, everything we need to do this. And so I invite you to come back next week as we begin to explore what this looks like in a way that fits your personality, in a way that honors how God has made you. But know this, Jesus gives us peace, and Jesus gives us a mission. Your life matters for eternity. What he wants to do through you is eternally significant. He has sent you on a mission to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. Through his resurrection, he gives us the two things we need most: peace, no matter what's going on, and a purpose for our lives, a purpose that's so important that it's actually the purpose that Jesus had for his life. Jesus gives us peace. That's his heart. And Jesus gives us a mission. But as we wrap up, there's one more thing that Jesus gives us in this passage, and it's in verse 22. Jesus gives us not just peace, not just a mission, but Jesus gives us the Spirit. In verse 22, he says this, or John says this, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I just told you that God has a purpose for your life. If you're like me, you feel completely inadequate. Imagine running a relay race and Usain Bolt finishes his lap and he hands you the baton. He says, here you go. It's your turn. He's run the first lap and now it's your turn to finish the next lap and hand it on to somebody else. If you were facing that circumstance, I would turn to Usain Bolt and I'd just say, you got the wrong guy. I think you'd better run the next lap yourself. Jesus basically has run his lap, and now he takes a baton, the baton that he carried so faithfully, and he looks at his disciples, he looks at you and me, and he says, here you go. I want you to complete what I started. I want you to continue the mission that I set out to do. At this point, I'm ready to say, I'm out. Jesus, I don't have what it takes. You'd better do this because I'm just going to mess it up. And in this context, Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is this: if you ever feel incompetent, if you feel like you don't have what it takes, you have a helper. The Holy Spirit now lives within you, empowering you to do everything that he commands you to do. Every single person who trusts in Jesus receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that changes everything. Friends, you don't need to live on your own strength. Jesus promised a helper. And in this passage, there's actually a lot of discussion of what takes place if you read the commentaries. Jesus was actually acting out what was going to happen in just a few days on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the whole church and completely changed their lives and empowered them to carry out the mission that he gave them to do. But at this moment, Jesus really acts this out, what's going to happen, what's actually happened to all of us who've trusted in Jesus. The same Holy Spirit who was present at creation, the same Holy Spirit who filled Jesus in his earthly ministry, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, is now present in you, in your life, giving you everything that you need. Our job isn't to get the Holy Spirit, nor is our job to try to live the Christian life on our own strength. Our job is actually to rely on the Holy Spirit. Every day to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, to ask for his help. He's within us. Our job is simply to stay in sync with the Spirit, trusting in his power to work through our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for us to live the Christian life. But with the Holy Spirit, not only is it possible, but it's going to happen in his power. Happy Easter. The message of Jesus, the message of John 20 is that Jesus has a heart at Easter to give us everything we need. The risen Jesus has a heart to give us peace, to give you peace no matter what you're facing. The heart of Jesus is to give you a mission that your life counts for eternity. The heart of Jesus is to give you his Spirit, a Spirit that will empower you to do everything that he asks you to do. And so today, receive his peace. If you haven't already done so, trust in the one whose heart has been shown to you so beautifully in these chapters of John. Do not turn down his love. Receive the love of the servant king who died to forgive your sins and to accomplish everything that needed to be done for you to be right with God. And then with empty arms, just receive his peace. Trust him. Give him your anxiety. Ask him for your peace today, his peace today. And then live on mission. Every day, trust that God, as you wake up, has a mission for your life, that he wants to extend his love through you. Yes, your life, as weak as you are, and not because you have the power, but because he's given you the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that he wants to do through you. And trust that God will use your life for his glory, for your joy, and for the good of the world. And so, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he stands among us and says to each of us, peace be with you. Father, breathe out that peace in our hearts right now, no matter what's going on in our lives. Lord, help us to receive the peace that's ours. It's our birthright through what Jesus Christ has done. We all know that our lives are a mess, that we're incapable of what you've called us to do. I know that you've given us a mission, but we all feel very inadequate. And so thank you for your Holy Spirit, who empowers us to do everything that you've commanded us to do, to live on mission, to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. And so, Spirit, would you fill us? I pray that you would give us what we need every day as we live in sync with you, as Paul says, as we stay in step with the Spirit. Father, I pray that we would know that our lives count, that you can use us in our weakness. And so, Father, give us your peace. Thank you that you've given us a mission, and thank you that you've given us a Spirit. Praise the risen Jesus, who's given us all these things and more. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.